You're listening to Jerry Agar on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Good morning. Brian Lilly has a fascinating yet disturbing and in a number of ways disgusting column in the Toronto Sun today. It starts this way. Imagine being a young girl sexually abused by her father for years, who finally has the courage to come forward, tell someone what has happened, and have police lay charges. Yet instead of seeing your father process through the justice system, he walks. Not because the judge or jury of his peers acquits him, but because the government hasn't appointed enough judges. We have the right under the charter to, if we are charged with something, to have a court case within a reasonable time. And I think that's a reasonable consideration. But apparently, we can't put court cases together in Toronto, in the GTA. August is the deadline on this one, and it looks like we're not going to make it. And so this young woman will just be out of luck. Is Brian Lilly right about the problem? And if so, why does this problem exist? Joining me to talk about this, News Talk 1010 legal analyst, criminal lawyer with CrimLawCanada.com, Boris Patinsky. Good morning, Boris.
Good morning, Jerry.
Right off the top, do we have a lack of judges?
Yes, we've had a lack of judges at the Superior Court of Justice level for going on close to a decade, if not more. This is not a new problem. This is a new story, but a case that is hasn't been in the public eye, but we've had a number of judicial vacancies in Ontario and elsewhere throughout the country. It's not even just an Ontario thing. For many, many years, more than just the current Trudeau government, it was true under the Conservatives as well. And so this isn't new. It's been a longstanding problem. It's not the only problem, and I'm not going to tell you that if you fill all the judicial vacancies, you're going to start giving everybody a trial within a reasonable time. That's not going to solve everything, but it would be a start.
Sure. Well, there's more to it than just a judge. A judge doesn't operate as a lone individual. You need other people working in the court system. So my understanding, tell me if I'm wrong about this, is as you add judges, you must add other support staff as well.
Yeah, I don't know that the support staff, I mean, there's been some well-publicized stories about the new Toronto courthouse, which, you know, it should be clear, is a different level of court. The story that Brian Lilly wrote it deals with a case that's at the Superior Court of Justice, which is a higher level of court. It's not a new building. There isn't the issue of court staff not being available in that building. There was that, you know, story about some of the challenges that the new Toronto courthouse is facing, but these are apples and oranges. We're not talking about the same thing. So, yes, there is a bit of a chronic issue with court staff. There's some adjustments to the post-COVID world and people returning to work. I mean, so those are issues, but there's been a chronic underfunding of legal aid. Defense lawyers have been poached in large numbers to become crown attorneys. There are dozens, if not thousands, actually, of self-represented or unrepresented people that are going through the criminal justice system. And frankly, there are many cases that are being prosecuted that shouldn't be prosecuted that are causing a backup with more serious cases. And this is an example of that.
Okay, but why has this been going on for so long? Do we have a shortage of smart Canadians who can be judges? Although sometimes, as you know, I think stupid people are judges, but we won't get into that. Do we have a lack of those people? Do we have a lack of willpower to get this done? Is it a cost-cutting thing? What's the problem?
Yeah, I wish I knew. I don't think I have an answer for that because, as I said, the problems persisted for a long time. There are robust processes in place in terms of the appointment of judges. There are committees that are out there that are looking for qualified candidates and reviewing the applications to make sure that the best people are appointed. I don't think it's a lack of candidates. I don't know about why successive governments have chosen not to fill the vacancies. I can't really, I don't want to speak for why that might be, but the bottom line is that this is a problem and it has been a problem, but it is absolutely far short of being the only problem. And I think it would be very, very dangerous to think that we can solve all of our delay problems and our backlogs simply by appointing a few more judges.
Well, okay. It sounds like it's a political issue, largely along the line somewhere. Here's an interesting legal question somebody just asked about this, Boris. And could you beat this deadline issue by holding off charging somebody until you know you have court capacity?
Well, no, because yes. So the short answer is yes, you could. The clock starts to run when the formal court charging documents are there and somebody's under arrest and before the courts. And and their criminal process is underway. So you could, in theory, but you probably don't want to do that because most of the people that you're charging with these serious offenses, you may want to make sure at the very least you bring under appropriate bail conditions. You don't want to have people out there in the community that you believe have committed crimes without good reason, right? So you want to bring them under charges and have the process commence. And really, like I have cases right now where the Crown is insisting on prosecuting what I think are very, very low-level offenses at the expense of allowing other more serious cases. When you prosecute a low-level offense, that takes up the court space of a more serious case. So you have to make decisions about, are we going to prosecute every single person charged with every low-level offense, regardless of how strong those cases are? Because every time you run a prosecution on a minor charge, you're taking the court space of a more serious charge that could be there in that same time slot.
Yeah, Boris Potensky is with me, our News Talk 1010 legal analyst, criminal lawyer with criminallawcanada.com. On a Brian Lilly story, I'll read you the first paragraph again. Imagine being a young girl sexually abused by her father for years, finally having the courage to come forward, tell someone what's happened, police lay charges, yet instead of seeing your father processed through the justice system, he walks, not because a judge or jury of his peers acquits him, but because the government hasn't appointed enough judges. We just don't have the capacity, and Boris says this has been going on for quite some time. This particular case is the kind of case we should be bringing before the court. When you're saying we're using court space for less serious things, this one's pretty serious.
I agree. Look, not getting court cases tried affects everybody. It affects victims, it affects their families, and it affects accused people because accused people can't clear the. Like, there are actually, everyone's presumed to be innocent. We know that. But quite apart from it, there are actually innocent people who are factually innocent who are waiting for their day in court to clear their name. Because if this gentleman wins and gets off on these charges because of the fact that he hasn't been tried within a reasonable time, the entire community will believe that he's guilty. And maybe he factually is not. And a trial would have been an opportunity for this individual to clear his name and be seen as innocent in the eyes of the community. Because regardless of the actual result, yes, he'll avoid jail, he'll avoid any sentence that might have been handed out if he was found guilty. He is nevertheless presumed innocent and may well be innocent. So we have to be very careful about not assuming that everybody charges guilty, and we have to recognize that and not having trials in a reasonable time harms everybody, not just accused, and certainly it harms victims.
Sure. I'm okay with the qualifier in our system that you have to have a timely trial. You can't have something hanging over somebody for a decade, because while you are presumed innocent under the eyes of the law, you're often presumed guilty by the greater community, and that can damage your life incredibly. So I'm okay with that provision of the charter. But because that provision exists, the political and judicial system, Boris Potensky, has an obligation to get with it and bring things to court. And we're not doing it.
Well, that's true. But like I said to you, I have a case right now where I have a client being prosecuted for failing to charge her battery in her ankle monitor. So that case is tying up the court space that could be used for more serious cases. And, you know, the prosecution has a great deal of latitude and a great deal of discretion about what cases are taken to trial. But if you want to insist on the lengthiest possible sentence and pleas to the most serious charges, the cases aren't going to resolve. If you're not going to fund legal aid, people aren't going to have lawyers to make responsible decisions, and things will get dragged out through the court system and take months to try instead of days. And frankly, the Supreme Court of Canada is to blame partly as well, because some of the laws, some of the provisions that they've interpreted and some of the laws that have been drafted by our federal government, particularly with respect to sexual assault cases, are have all contributed to making cases much more complex and lengthy than they otherwise would be. So there are a host of factors that contribute to this problem. And yes, we have many, many cases in a backlog that need to be addressed, and measures have to be taken so that victims aren't denied their day in court, and neither are accused.
Yeah, you would hope that there would be triage in a case like the one that Brian Lilly's writing about would move forward. But then, of course, I'm not aware of what all the other cases are, because there are many, many more that would be egregious and serious as well. Always good to talk to you, Boris. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
Boris Potensky, criminlawcanada.com. Is there a little ray of light in a demotion? That coming up on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.